Sri Ram Jaya Ram. তুমি যা পারে মানা,
তুমি যা পারে মানা,
ওম শ্রী রাম জয় রাম,
শ্রী রাম জয় রাম,
যা পারে মানা,
যা পারে মানা,
তুমি বাঁচে
I love you, Ellen. So beautiful. Really. So, so sweet, so sweet. Like a nightingale. Thank you. Thank you, Chandra. Were you playing the harmonium, Chandra, or were you just sitting there enjoying?
No, Ellen is playing. I cannot do with my hands anymore, but I sung the second.
No, okay. Mm-hmm, great. Okay, good. Wonderful. I don't know how we can even follow that. It's so sweet, really. It's such a great chant, isn't it? This one. So often I'm looking out at the wind going through the leaves during satsang. It's where my stare seems to go. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. I have a little small point for satsang. Then I would like very much for you to conduct satsang by your inspiration, your questions, your insight, whatever you may want to offer into satsang. So two things happened. Out of one inquiry. And the inquiry is, in my words, the way I understood it, and to simplify it, was how can there be a continuance of karma when there is but emptiness. We were talking about Prabdha Karma. Prabdha Karma is when one is finished creating karmas. Mm-hmm. When one is has realized not only the oneness of the universe and, well, everything and time and everyone, and that it always has been this way, it shall always be this way, that is the way it is. That there's no duality here at all, although there appears to be. So when one comes to this realization and has this for their direct experience, they are living out Prabdha Karma. Ramana Maharishi addressed this. Maharaji addressed this. That you no longer create karma, but you will... Everything's a mystery. Don't think that you can get it all pat down like one and one is two. Two and two are four. It's not that evident, and it's not that simple. And we were saying here before we began that some things cannot be spoken, you know? And I used to think that was the problem. I used to think that to say such a thing is kind of an excuse. Oh, you can't say anything about it. Well, that's convenient. So you don't have to, right? But the real fact of the matter is you cannot say anything about so much. And we were talking about here, just like the Indian allegory that I can't give you the taste of orange. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you what an orange tastes like. I can say it's a little sour, a little sweet, a little citrusy. So I can give you all kinds of definitions, but I can't taste it for you. And I cannot convey the taste, not through words. I have to give you an orange and you have to taste it. And you say, oh, and I'm not even sure you're tasting an orange in the same way I am. That's the beauty of it. Huh? So it is all up to you to have the experience. And we were speaking, it's so simple. Some people might even think it's too simple. It's so simple. And I'll go into that in just a moment. So the question was something like this, in my own words. How could there be a karma to live out, you know, in a next life or this life or whenever? Karma means action. That's all it means. It doesn't mean anything else. I think that's really wonderful. When I found that out, I was extremely pleased, touched, and I didn't think that you could put any nuance on it. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, no one knows the ways of karma, Arjuna. No one knows this mystery and how it works. So it is action and action alone. I've looked in Sanskrit dictionaries, I've asked pundits. And when they begin to explain to me, I say, well, if you had to bring the word karma into one other word, what would it be? And they say action. That it is action. That's the way it's translated from Sanskrit. So how could there be a Prabdha Karma? How could there be actions when everything is empty? See? And it's a very good question, because it insinuates that one is absent of the other, when in fact both are true at once. Means the emptiness, the uncultivated, and the cultivated. So there is but emptiness. It's even more true than the appearance of things. And that is because everything changes. If, you know, if one would look, if one would really look into the fact that everything changes, not just hear it, but look into it and see that the whole of all that we experience is consistently morphing. There is nothing that is still and stable. Everything is moving. Einstein looked at this very carefully. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it very carefully, you can see, well, being that everything's moving and you can't catch a second, you can't catch a second. I've always asked people, attempt to catch a second. But this is only if you want to see rather than know. And this is the second part that we came to. Is just to know something doesn't really make much difference. It does in the sense that you know it, but it doesn't in the sense that that's your experience. And when you see that the constant outpouring has no root of stability, when you see that, because you have discovered that it is so, not because you've heard it and you say, okay, it's so, or okay, I doubt that, or okay, whatever, I've heard it. When you see it, there's a continuance. Now you have opened up a certain awareness and you're prepared, because you have discovered, you are prepared to open up another awareness and another awareness and another awareness. And it goes very deep and very simple and very clear. And I was saying here before we got onto the satsang, just, you know, we cannot even say what love means to you, what it looks like to you, what the meaning of that is for you. We can't say it because we don't know. I love not knowing. I think not knowing is one of the richest fields of life, because it leaves everything open to see. Once you know, that's where you are, and that's okay. You have to know the way home. It's very practical to know, but there's a place where the silence and the not knowing has its own extremely internal language. So we were speaking here earlier. We were speaking, and get out of your head and come to your heart. We were speaking earlier that when one will turn to love just once, where before they would not. They would turn to criticism or hatred or resentment or resistance or something that indicates a duality, where love does not, by the way. Not this love. And they see the result of that because they've had the experience of it. And they see how it works. Mm-hmm. Then this becomes a very rich field within oneself, and things change. The world doesn't change, but you do. So this is, it always starts out in the intellectual field to know. There's nothing wrong with knowing. Knowing is great. Even to hear, even to be sitting in satsang is like an extraordinary opportunity, blessing, grace, possibility. So knowing is really important. But just to know, is like, you can just put it away. I know that. Oh, I know it. I know it. But that's the experience is what the sadhu, the one who is in the sangha, the one who is a disciple. Guru is always a disciple forever and ever. So that's settled. That's settled. Mm-hmm. Guru, master is a servant. Not anything else. So to have the experience of an absolute open heart for just a moment, just one shift, where perhaps compassion comes in. I've been here myself. I understand. I get it. Oh, I have made mistakes in my life or errors, and they've been very good for me, by the way. Every error I've ever made has been really a gift. And because the errors have always showed me you need to adjust. So this is experience. Knowing is great, and knowing is practical in its own realm. But this is why it's suggested that you meditate, that you sit some time in nature, that you have some very quiet time for yourself, that you observe your thoughts. See what's important and what's not important, what you can just let go down like time passes, or what you have to hold on to and deal with. So sometimes we have to deal with things, but I wonder, you know, Indra's been a very good, in my life, Indra and I have been together now 27 years. And through our time together, it's been very wonderful to see that mostly anything that could disturb is already gone. And that nothing replaces the openness of love. And that arguing is a pain in the neck, and right fighting is foolish. I have to be right. It's foolish. It's really foolish because it's a struggle. And you don't have to struggle in life. You just don't have to. A little bit, sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I know this moment together has been kind of all over the place, but every place that it's gone to in the last 5 or 10 minutes has been really important. To know something is wonderful, to leave it there, in the world of spirituality meaning I am discovering the fundamentals of my very being. What is fundamental to my being? What is love? What is repetition? What is a silent mind? Not just I know that that's possible, but how is that for me? What is that sadhana of silencing or just letting thoughts pass by? We've been talking about Wang Po a good deal. And before I come to you, I want to read one little sentence of the Wang Po material. And I'm not sure that people, well, I'm not sure of anything really. And that's why silence is so wonderful, because it assures you that you don't know a thing. And it's so wide open, and it's so present, and it's so experiential. This is the thing. So. Let's go to, we'll go to the last paragraph. And I'm only going to read it once. Maybe I read it twice. Usually it's important to read twice. But it's a long paragraph. But it comes to a very fine point. Consider the sunlight. You may say it's near. Now, not just read it. See, the sunlight is near. Is sunlight near?
Yes.
It's so near, it's illuminating the room, right? It's illuminating the day. It's illuminating everything. That's how near it is. Yet if you follow it from world to world, you may never catch it in your hands. From world to world, so near and so far, no? Then you may describe it as far away, and you will see it's just before your eyes. Follow it and behold, it escapes you. Run from it and it follows you close. You neither possess it nor have done away with it. That means that what you are discovering within yourself is so bright and impersonal that every being has exactly this light. We're not going to say it's bright. We're not going to say it's dark. We're just going to say it's lightness. And that's just a word you cannot describe. It's so beautiful. You neither possess it nor have done away with it. From this example, you can understand how it is with the true nature of all things, and hence, therefore, there will be no need to grieve or worry about such things. Well, so close, you can't get away from it. So far that it goes from world to world. Try to hold it and you cannot. Try to run from it and it follows you. This is the true nature of existence. It's a very fine example. And there's no reason to grieve or worry about anything, really. I would have put anything there, period, anything. And then sometimes we do. It wouldn't be wrong to do it. It would just be a cloudy, cloudy place. I always say, put it in the hands of God, poetically speaking, and see what happens. Everything gets resolved on its own. You may be called to participate. You're definitely called to participate in your spirituality. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of knowing, a bunch of trendiness, something that feels good. It's very, very deep and very, very, very beautiful and very simple. And it, in my estimation, it's the only way to be alive, really alive. And I'm sure that everyone who's listening or who's attending satsang understands thoroughly when they have been alive, or they are alive, or they are living in that way also. Absolutely open to whatever may occur. We will deal with it when it gets here. We walk through it, no problem. And we realized that actually there is a stillness and an emptiness and intelligence. See, it's so hard to speak about. An ancient wisdom that is incomprehensible, inexhaustible, undoubtable, and true, which brings all of this about. It's not a theory. Once you see that that is so, that it's very hard to speak about. And yet you live a different way, you see a different way, and there's no conflict anywhere. Not in you. The dichotomies are resolved because both is true at once. One is not more true than the other. Mm-hmm. So there it is. Would anyone like to carry on with Setsu? We could say, I will answer you when you raise your hand. And if you don't raise your hand, we'll stop satsang. We could say that the emptiness and the stillness and the well, that which cannot be spoken about. But stillness and silence and emptiness touch upon it is by far truer than anything that passes by. So no one has their hand up, and I think I'm going to stop satsang right now. So namaste, everyone. I will see you next week.
Namaste. That was actually an incredible satsang. Not that they aren't all, but that was very powerful. It looks like Shanti Mai has ended the satsang, at least for the moment. If she returns, we'll return right back to her, of course. For me, that was deep and stunned into silence. I wasn't in any place to ask a question just yet. Maybe we all felt the same. That being said, we had intended to announce that we'd like to have a conversation about this upcoming trip to India. As you all may have heard already via other means, Shantimai will be in residence in Rishikesh in Lakshmanjula at Sachidam Ashram from February 15th through March 15th of this coming year. I know many of you have been to India before, and some of you have not. And we were hoping to have a conversation about what is necessary to set up the ashram for Shantimai's arrival, and what's necessary for cleaning up after she goes and closing everything back down. There's a number of people that are going to be there at least a couple weeks prior. There is a lot that needs to be done. Shantimai's house has to be set up. The hall has to be cleaned out, and the curtains put up, and the chair found, and all the carpets laid out. And you know, there's always the Indian monkey factory. Things could be so different when we get there that we have to recreate everything, which is also fine. So, you think we should do a closing bhajan before we start this conversation, Sri? I was hoping that Shantimai was going to come back on, but hope springs eternal. So, Ellen, how are you feeling about how? What do we do a bhajan first?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was absolutely beautiful. Really wonderful to see you both. All right. I'm going to de-spotlight you. There you go. So back to India. I'm going to open up the floor. I'm going to add Shri to the screen here. And Shri, is there anything that you would like to add to the introduction of this conversation?
Yes, we're this year just looking to invite people to let us know what their travel plans are and those that are willing to help participate in the setup and set down. As many of you may know, that's not something that we've been so actively coordinating, but as Sahar and others have pointed out, this is it's been a few years, and so we expect there to be a lot to do. So everyone's welcome to join us in the Seva. Please email starmediainfo@gmail.com. That's the address that we're inviting people at the moment. I'll likely set something up in the next few days. We'll announce for next satsang for people to share their arrival information, and if they want to share their emails with the group, so that if you know that Gangaji is arriving on Wednesday, the same Wednesday as you, perhaps you could coordinate that a little bit amongst yourselves. So that's to be announced still. I haven't done it. Figure it out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and if you do have any information about suggestions.
Sorry, I don't hear you, just so you know.
You can't hear me? Can't hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Also, if you have any information about if you've been there in the last couple of years, and you have a good driver, a place to stay that people don't know about that's new, any information about what's going on the ground there, please share that with us, and we will share that with others. Anybody that can come early and help out, just having pairs of hands and eyes and feet can be a really big help. Because there's a lot that needs to get done. And it's surprisingly, even as difficult as you think something's going to be trying to get it done in India, it's a little harder than that. Just a little. So it's really good to have people around to help out. And it's also community building in an obvious way. Like Shanti Mai always says, you get out of it what you put into it, whatever it is. And there's a door that opens up when you enter into service that's not quite as open when you're not. So if you can make that effort, it'd be most appreciated. Also, we've been discussing having a more formalized donation system for the donation offered to Shanti Mai for that month that people are going to be there. Whereas in years past, because we were there for 3 to 6 months, there was it just kind of occurred organically, and it was just a very, very different system. So we're still discussing the specific suggested donation. And to be clear, if that there's nothing about the donation that it's a bar that you have to get over. If the only way you can get to India is you've got, 27 cents left after you buy your ticket, get to India and spend that time there. There will be enough people that can they can cover the donation. And we're only talking, a couple hundred euros. We're not talking something extreme, but we're coming up with a good number once we figure out how many people are coming. We want to make sure that Shanti Mai's expenses are covered, that her flight there is covered, that her time there is covered. She has, things that she likes to do for the ashram. We want to make sure that this may be our last time there. And we'd like for everybody to consciously engage in making this a most wonderful time for her. This is the core of our Sangha began with Shanti Mai's entering to India. So I'm just, at least in my heart and in my mind, it's maybe not a grand finale. I had been saying for many years that this is our annual last time to India, which may be, who knows? India is, in the universe, who knows? Sri, would you like to tell people how to, you've got your hand up. Chintamani.
We've got a resident expert here.
I just wanted to add something when you talked about donations for Shanti Mai for the time being. I remember people who set up the house that normally would take the expenses, maybe afterwards talk within Sangha. I assume that this time maybe there might be really some good amount of expenses. So whether you would want to set up also a donation for people to contribute to the house opening, because sometimes it was on the people who already did do the seva. So I just suggest, because normally we ended up with quite a good amount to spend, yet alone for the opening.
That's great. Thank you for that, Chintamani. We had begun conversations about that, to have to open up a separate channel for contributions just for structural things. Like we're going to have, we don't know what shape Shanti Mai's house is in.
That's what I mean.
It really could be like the roof could need something. The roof, Shanti Mai really wants to keep expenses down. Mm-hmm. And we will keep her expenses to zero. But mm-hmm. we are also.
But just if the monsoon was very bad, you need to do, you know how it goes. There might be just to make it happening might be a lot of expenses.
Yeah. The expenses will not be zero, but we want to make sure that nothing's out of pocket for Shanti Mai.
Mm-hmm.
This is our last opportunity to host Shanti Mai in India. And in my heart and mind, we can really do it up.
That's what I mean. And so that it's not on the people who come already early to set up the house and they are spending a good amount on also.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that would be.
That you could share that in the Sangha, that would be beautiful.
That's a great idea, great sharing. And yes, we'll formalize that also. We'll make a way for people to donate that separately, because it will, you really just don't know until you know. India, we'll take all your money 3 rupees at a time.
Yes.
Right. And the closing down process also is something that we have to pay attention to. There are lesser costs involved with that, but there are costs, and it is time and effort intensive. So anybody that can come early and or stay later, everybody is welcome to do that. And encouraged to do so. Also, during the month that Shanti Mai is in residence, there will be satsang nearly every day, most likely. There may be an intensive or two And each of these things requires a lot of attention and a lot of presence. And because we only have a month there, I want to share that it's a retreat, but it's not a vacation. Like, this is where we can be very, very present for each other. So if we show up early and grab a broom and do some things or help out, whenever somebody says, hey, we need five people for this, if we get 30 hands that pop up, that would be awesome. And that's what I have for the moment. Things are very different from when we were there last. The hotels have changed their pricing, their places. The bridge is shut down and may not be open by the time we get there. We're going to be, it's India, so there's always surprises. One thing that's not a surprise about India is that there will be a surprise every day. By the way,
what I got to know is that the prices on the other side of the ashram apparently stayed pretty much similar, and in Ramjula. So that's what I have heard, because I have friends living there in Prashant and some friends who have been there. So apparently mainly it has risen on the side of Satyadham Ashram, because there you get down there from Tapovan, huh?
Right.
Yeah, and if we could, we'll just add a note about the bridge. At the moment, it's still under construction. There was a government notice that says that it's about 70% done. But a few of us have spoken to locals, and every time I've said, will it be ready, people have laughed at me. So be prepared for, you can still, at the moment, you can still cross by boat if you are looking to book on the same side that Chintanami is speaking about. I've heard from a few people that a lot of the places on the ashram side are already booked. So if you haven't booked a place yet, we'd strongly encourage you to consider booking now. Reserve your nice room now so that you're not concerned about it later.
And begin checking your visa situation now. You need to have at least 6 months available in your passport from the moment you land. So even if you have 3 months available and you're going to leave before this is something I've seen, is that you need to have at least 6 months of passport left when you land in India.
Sahar's referring to the expiration date on your passport. Make sure it's 6 months in advance. And I know from Canada, it's taking last year, we couldn't travel because it was going to take months just to get the standard tourist visa. So a lot of offices are backed up. So again, right, Starting a little early is probably best for this particular year, because everyone wants to go.
Yes. And it's going to be, it will be absolutely wonderful. Especially with everybody contributing and lending a hand.
If anyone has a question, you can do what Chintanami did. You can raise your hand and we'll spotlight you. It's a range of seva that's required. So even if, some people, maybe it's going to be, can offer a little more physical labor, and other persons, it's going to be helping to iron, or there's such a range of what you can do to contribute. Of course, as we're talking about, it's both prior and after, and as well, there'll be a lot of opportunities to contribute to seva during that month as well. So everyone can join in the seva.
Amen. Are there any questions, comments, suggestions from anybody else?
So it's extremely clear, Sahara. Good job.
All right. Yay us. Oh, there's somebody raising their.
No, that's Chinti.
Here we go. It's. There you go. There are other ways to raise your hand, but we'll go ahead and let this happen.
You have to unmute. We've invited you to unmute.
You have to hit the. There's a little button that pops up saying unmute, or you can click the little microphone thing. There we go.
I've never been there before, but I'm very interested in coming. But so many questions, and So can I just email to the email address you gave before?
Please do.
With questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So we'll probably have little informational meetings like this more than a few times as we're going to get asked with a mute.
My question is about the boat passing the to the other side. I'm not sure if the boat goes to at the right time that we can enter satsang.
Yeah, that's a good question. We could. I can ask a few people that are there. I know Chintan Mikan also will ask some locals there now. My advice is let's give it a little bit of time to see if it is done. One of the thoughts that we had was to talk to the persons that have the boats transporting back and forth to see if we could set up specific times for our Sangha to gather, rent it as a whole to transport over. So again, hopefully this is going to work out that we could just walk across the stunning new glass bridge. But yeah, we'll figure that out. And Chintan suggested that before, that we organize with whoever is doing that service.
We'll make sure everyone gets across. Because when we should book our rooms now, so the question is if I can book on the other side or...
Yes.
That's why the question came.
Yes, like you, I mean, as you know, I always book on the other side. So that this year, because of the unknown, I've booked on the right side or the same side. I'm told a lot of people are, and that's why it's filling up fast. It's also possible, I don't know for sure, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I heard once that maybe that Prem Baba will be there. Mm. And obviously when there's more persons there, it's going to get even busier. So if you can find a place that you can book that has flexible cancellation, we encourage people to consider that as an option. But it's supposed to be a glorious wide glass bridge that will be less congested than it has been in the past. Mm. I'm sure still the monkeys, the cows, the variety of vehicles will still be there to make it lots of fun. But it's a concern for us all. Because getting back and forth, as you know, if you need to do it a few times a day, could be a challenge. As soon as I know the bridge is built, and I've got a couple of people who would know to write me right away, I'll share that with, we'll send out a notice on the listserv. Do you have any other questions, Martha?
Okay. Any other questions, comments, suggestions, complaints? There's no need to linger. If not, we will have, maybe we'll do this every couple of weeks. We'll have an informational meeting when it's good to talk things out. And I know we have a lot of people that may be new there, and things have changed on the ground. Let's say that again. So if there aren't any other hands being raised one way or another, and I think we are at a close. Tree, is there anything else?
That's it. We'll, as you say, we'll just reconvene a few times over the next few months. And again, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have along the way. And that's starmediainfo@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Sahar.
Welcome. Love and blessings to you all. And we'll see you all next week, Lord willing, of the Creek Don't Rise, for the earlier satsang. Namaste.